Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your girl Mitzi, and this is Mitzi. Let's think about it. Today, we are thinking about dream empowerment. Yes, I had the pleasure of getting Megan back on my show. Yes, because we need to talk really about these dreams again in a thorough, more specific way. So I had to bring her back. So thank you so much again, Megan, for coming on my show. So dream empowerment. Tell me more. What does it really make you think? I know you dabbed into it last time, but I really want to know from someone who's, this is your specialty, you know, but so what does that really mean to you when someone just brings it up or you hear it around, you know, does your ear like stick up and be like, I'm curious to know what you're going to say. I mean, tell me, Megan.
Yes, thank you for having me on again, Mitzi. It's a pleasure. And yeah, I think, I don't know, but I think I invented this term. I kind of came up with it because I feel like it helps people better understand why do dream analysis. Because some people just think of it as a parlor trick or sort of like looking up your horoscope and don't really understand that it actually is a path to empowerment. And that you really can experience what I believe is a spiritual transformation by doing the dream work. And so when I say dream empowerment, that's really what I think is the ultimate end goal of doing the inner work of the dream work.
Yeah, you got to do the inner work. But, you know, what really is the inner work? I mean, because once you have the dream, if you don't really write it down right away, like we spoke about before, having that dream journal, you know, you will lose it. So if you're in the moment of the dream and you don't have your pen and paper, you know, is repeating it or just going over your dream over and over again, is that a good way to have that type of remembering? I mean, if that makes sense.
It is a good method for dream recall to try and remember it. Yes. So if you don't have your pen and paper handy, you don't want to get up, you don't have a way to do it, then I would definitely try to repeat it to yourself. Try to grasp just a couple words to help you remember just the content of the dream so that once you are at your phone or a pen and paper, then you can actually try to unravel what those two words you were able to hold on to meant.
Yes, I think that is a great way. Yeah, most definitely try to write that down. And I'm curious because I was looking up quotes. I mean, as always, because, you know, I'm the quote fanatic. So I seen one that says dreams are as simple or as complicated as the dream. So what does that make you think about when you hear that?
I love that. It really is all about the dreamer. And that quote so eloquently underscores the work that I do in the specific way that I do it, because I really put all of the power back on the dreamer. I don't want to act like a dream dictionary and say, well, it just means this for everybody. It's really what it means to the dreamer. And so how complex or how simple your life has been, how complex or simple your experiences have been, how complex or simple your subconscious is going to dictate how complex or simple your dreams are. And some people just don't think they don't remember them, can only remember little parts, and other people could talk to you for 40 minutes about one dream. So that, and I also think it has something to do with personality too. I've heard of scientific studies, which I found were really fascinating, about that certain personalities are more willing to do the dream work, more willing to open themselves up to the possibilities of the dream world and seriously consider what it might hold for them. Whereas certain other personalities just might discard that more easily.
That's good. Those are good points. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I was just going to say some people are very rejected or very, very subjective, I guess, if that's the right word too, because of their growing up and their personality as well and all of that. So you brought up some really good points, because your experience is very much going to be different, you know, but I have heard like sometimes those simple-minded people would get those extravagant dreams to kind of wake them up, you know, because there's been, you know, I think we talked on this last time, but I'm not quite sure, where Like you can kind of tell the future, you know what I mean? Sometimes dreams can warn you and kind of protect you and, you know, give you that foresight into what could possibly be coming if you continue on the right tracks or if you switch something up, you know. And that's the thing, if your mind is so simple and you can't understand this extravagant dream at the time, and you so sadly go to a dream dictionary, you're gonna really get lost in
Yes.
what's gonna happen, and they can confuse people. I mean, have you gotten clients that just came to you just completely confused and was just like, this is what I thought, but this is what I feel, but this is, I don't know. Oh, I
Absolutely.
mean,
Yeah, absolutely. Either one, they say, well, I think I know what it means, and they're already kind of cutting themselves off at the, you know, at the start before they even get to really unravel it. Or they say, well, I looked it up and it said this, and so it's that, right? I mean, I don't know. Or that doesn't resonate with me, so I don't get it.
yes, that's a good way to say it. Yeah, it doesn't resonate with me. That's a good one. That's a very good one, because a lot
And
of the
what is
times people
resonance?
were,
But yeah, it's
yeah, what is
frequency.
it? Exactly. That's exactly, I mean, we're right there, Megan, we're right there, because it's so funny, because once somebody decides it doesn't resonate with them, they can completely reject it. And they say, oh, well, my soul told me to reject it. Like, is it really your soul, or is it really just the fact that you don't want to receive the message? You know,
Right,
that's my opinion. What, I mean,
yes,
what
which
about
is the
you?
ego. It's not the soul.
Yeah,
It's the
ego.
self.
Thank you. People don't talk about the ego enough, because they feel like, oh, I'm so spiritual, I could tap in, I'm so kumbaya, you know, but it's not like that. You know, our ego sneaks in there like a little
Yes.
right
It's a
there. And
self-protective mechanism, and that's what it's there for. But you know, it's part of the personality, and we don't want to have things be destabilized from the egoic persona that we believe we are.
yeah.
And we don't have control over the subconscious. So when we wake up and we say, well, I had this dream that this, and people look at us funny, and it's like, well, what? I didn't make that happen. It's just happened. You don't have any control over it, unless, of course, you're lucid dreaming. But the point is that it's not, it's something that a lot of people feel embarrassed about, ashamed about. They don't appreciate their dreams, and they don't want to share them, and they don't want to talk about them because they think it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And so they're just holding themselves up when they say that. They're just saying, well, I know what they mean, or I don't need to do that work, or or mine don't mean anything. That's all very, the ego saying, stepping in between you and the spirit and saying, no, no, we don't need that. We don't need to listen to that. Look the other way. Never mind the man behind the curtain.
Exactly. Perfectly stated. Perfectly stated. Because I think that's one thing that people are needing to realize. Like, you can be working on yourself, but man, when that ego steps in, you got to recognize it. You know what I mean? Because we all sometimes let it just take over. I have my moments too, and you feel your blood boiling, but then you have to like take a second and remember, like, no. You don't have to feel embarrassed. You don't have to feel ashamed. You don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to feel bad for what you dreamt or what you see in that moment. You know what I mean? Because in that moment, I feel like it's made specifically for you. You know what I'm
It
saying?
is.
And that's why I think one of the other quotes that, I seen was kind of like how we talked about, but it says dreams can see into the future. So with that statement, I mean, I know we kind of spoke on it a little bit, but like, what does that really mean to you? I mean, have you ever had a moment where you've seen your future in your own dreams?
Yes, and that's what brought me here, actually.
Look at us.
Yes, I mean, I was just actually told this story on another podcast yesterday, that I had this dream where this woman, and I perceived her to be a life coach, but at the time, I really didn't know much about life coaching, but I kind of figured she was that kind of person, like a guide or someone. And we were walking into an auditorium, and she was holding the door to the auditorium, and she said, "Are you ready?" And we were supposed to go on early, apparently. And she opened the door and we walked in and everyone in the auditorium stood up and was clapping for us. And she said, "I know everything about you." And it just really, that moment was so defining to me. Like, this, my audience is waiting. Like, I have to go do this. And so I really think when we talk about dreams being prophetic, certainly they can be, but what I want to present to really kind of turn it a little bit further is that dreams don't have to worry about time and space. There is no time and space when it comes to dreams. They're not linear. They're not trapped in this 3D reality. So what our conception of future is just a illusion because of our linear quote unquote reality.
Yeah.
So when we receive information in our dreams and we experience things that we think, oh, that already happened or that's going to happen, well, that's just because our brains can't process that everything is actually all happening at once. It's a very existential concept. But when you start to tap into that idea, then you realize, oh, okay, well, yeah, they are then, but it's actually just not, it's not explained in that manner, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense because it's hard to explain in general, you know what I mean? Because once you're experiencing the moment, you kind of realize like, oh, time isn't linear. Time isn't what we know, because I had that dream yesterday and it's happening today, or I had that dream 7 years ago and look at it appearing to me now. So, or it just, hi, I don't know what happened.
That's you froze. Weird.
Yeah, I guess we both
you got
froze.
Trapped in a different reality.
I know. Look at that. It happened in broad daylight, you know?
Yeah.
That is so crazy that happened, but I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
So I guess we're just going to move forward because I kind of lost my train of thought and I was in the middle of talking, so it's okay.
Yeah.
But I wanted to bring back manifesting dreams. You spoke very little about it last time when you were going through the four stages.
Okay.
And I really want see if you could dive more into that, because I feel like when you manifest your dreams, you really can empower your dreams.
Yes.
Am I right? I feel like that's a big part of this dream empowerment process.
It is.
The manifesting portion of it.
Correct. So dream manifestation or dream incubation, they're both kind of the same thing, is when you put an intention down in your mind or in your journal to have a certain type of dream, or to perhaps re-enter a dream and have there be an alternate ending. And that it can be a very healing and empowering process, because it allows you to feel that you have some agency in your, let's just say, spiritual trajectory, right? So one of the ways you can do that when you keep a dream journal is before you go to bed, write down what it is that you want to dream about. Because the power of intention and the power of the mind, it cannot be underscored. So it's very important to understand that you have the ability to do this. It's also one of the ways that we can start to activate lucidity, is to simply create a habit of thinking to yourself, and almost like a mantra or writing it down, that you are going to have a certain type of dream. When you continually put your mind to it, your mind is thinking about it as you fall asleep, and it will eventually transfer to the dream state and to the dream world and to the content of the dream world. So one of the applications of this can be if you have a problem that you want to solve, for example. So maybe you're having a writer's block. Okay. And so this is great for writers. Immerse yourself in whatever it is that you're having an issue with. So if you're having an issue with what happens next in your book, and you read it right before you go to bed, so that is active in your mind. As you go to sleep, your mind is going to start working on what happens next. If you you're working on a project and you need a new creative idea, ask for that as you go to sleep. What should I name this new program? Or what's a new way that I can interact with my audience? Or what's a new project that I can propose at work? Whatever it is. And have the intention of that. Ask your higher self that. And you'll get the answers in your dreams. Now, they might not be as obvious as you think. It's not going to be, I heard your call and here's the answer to your project. But you have to learn how to decode the story of the dream to get the message.
Yes, that's very true. You really do have to decode it, because sometimes they go by fast. You know what I mean? You could be mm-hmm. in one dream, and before you know it, you're already in another dream. And before you know mm-hmm. it, you're in another dream. And if people aren't careful, then you can really get lost in between dreams. And that's why decoding it is the best part, because if you can pick up the pieces, there's always going to be some type of pattern, you know what I mean? Yes. Or something that's going to be sticking out, because when you replay it in your mind, or you write it down and you go to it when you're free-minded, you know, and you're clear and you're ready to receive it again, you know, you're able to really see, like, oh, okay, this, I could circle it, you know what I mean? You can see that pattern and see, what does it really mean to me? And ask yourself these hard questions, because people need to ask themselves these hard questions, because it's basically your inner self telling you, okay, this is how we're going to do this project. This is how we're going to do this book. This is how we're going to do this situation in our lives, a relationship issue, or whatever the case may be. You know, even finances, it helps you along the way. Even enemies, you know, I mean, your dreams can warn you of enemies coming your way without you even realizing you're having enemies. You know, like, I've had dreams that have protected me and my family from moving into houses that were cursed, and we were going to experience hell and back. But because I paid attention to all the details in my dreams, my mom, when she came back with my stepdad and described the house, I was like, you can't get that house. I literally just had a dream about that house the other night. And the way she described it, she even laid it out for me. I was like, this is the exact house. I was like, please do not get this house. So then later on, the real estater came to her and said that, yeah, a child died in that house. And in my dream, I was getting tormented by a child, and it was tormenting my dog. So I know, it was crazy. So I like kind of helped the situation. And so I stand strong with the, it warns you in the future, because I'm telling you, I've experienced things that only in my dreams, it's like crazy. Because I remember one time I had a dream. It wasn't even intentional. I was tired, fell asleep, and I had a dream that I was helping detectives find a case for a child. You know, there was missing children, and I had to help them find these children. And every time I looked, the people were gone with these children. So then I woke up, went to the bathroom, and I was about to turn off the light and go to my room. But as soon as I was about to turn off the light, I seen a kid all in white and was pointing at the mirror. And I turned and I switched off the light, not realizing, like, oh snap. And I turned it on and it was gone. And I looked at the mirror, and it was a circle with a star in it. Yeah. So then when I went back to sleep, I ended up going right back into the dream. And I ended up finding the kids in a warehouse around a circle at the points of the stars, all dressed in white. So I was just like, that dream always sticks with me to this day. I will always recall that dream forever, because that right there kind of, it changed my perspective on dreaming and what dreams can do. You know what I mean? Like,
it's a very powerful, story, or I mean, experience. And it really speaks to how I feel the dream world is a conduit to the spirit world.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's exactly what I say. And people don't realize that sometimes, in my personal opinion, I feel like sometimes it leads you to different realms.
Yes,
You know what I mean?
absolutely.
Different lives that we've lived before or after or in a different time zone that we just don't comprehend. And we don't realize that sometimes we can help in a different area, in a different time that's not our own. You know what I mean? Because maybe at
Yes.
that moment I was there to help, but I ended up helping too short, you know, unfortunately. But we still found the children, so I guess that's a good thing. But I mean, I don't know. Sometimes talking to this to some, I have never really told that dream to anybody, to be honest. But I feel comfortable talking to you, and I guess now sharing it with the world. But I feel comfortable talking to you because, you know, I mean, you. I feel
Yeah,
like
that
you,
happens.
man, exactly. I mean, we get it. We get it. So that, I mean, so it's very comforting. I mean, from your opinion, from what I said, I mean, what else do you think about?
Well, I appreciate the authenticity of sharing that. And I think that when you do that, that's when everyone says, you know, I had this dream. And then that's where the sharing starts. When you become vulnerable and you say, you know what, I had this experience and I don't know what to make of it, and you finally come out into the public and say it, that is what is the most powerful, because then everyone all of a sudden, what do they want to do? They want to share theirs. And when you do that, that's when we start to kind of just break down those blockages that are happening that are keeping us from sharing this, and also keeping us from looking at it ourselves. So, you know, it's very, that's why I feel like dream work is the doorway. I often call it a portal or a catalyst, because it allows us to really integrate parts of ourselves, as well as connect with others in a way that we would not be possible without sharing that experience.
Exactly. I really like that. Oh, I know time is getting the best of us, so I am so sad that we have to wrap up this show. Megan, we're gonna have to have you come back. I swear,
It'll
we're
be a
gonna have
three-part
to have
series.
more talks about dreams, because that last statement really sticks. And I hope the audience really listens and takes note onto that. Share your dreams, share your experiences. Don't hold it back, because you know what? You don't know who you may be connecting with that you don't even realize you're connecting with. And that's the beauty of life, is that we're all intertangled some way, somehow. So, with that
so
being
true.
said, always be thinking, y'all. Take care. Bye.